Well, rediscovered historic plaque tells a complex Māori Pākehā story. An historic plaque, likely to be among New Zealand's first World War I memorials, has been rediscovered during a major renovation of Old Coral Hall on Auckland University's city campus. Historian Rowan Lyatt says the plaque, thought to be lost, tells a multi-layered story of Māori and Pākehā relationships dating back to 1845, and he's kindly with us for a kōrero about that today. Thanks for your time, Rowan. Tēnā koe, and welcome to Pākehā.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
It's good to talk with you, Rowan. Thanks so much. Well, the plaque was on the old barracks wall, the site of one of the first Ngā Tamatoa protests. Was it removed after that, or what can you tell us about this plaque?
Yeah, so the plaque was originally attached to the Albert Barracks wall, which was the largest, which was a sort of British military base that had been built in the 1840s to protect or sort of to represent a sort of foothold of British authority in Auckland. And so the barrack walls that was left, the remnants of it in the 1980s, had this plaque, which had been originally attached in the 1915, as you say, during the First World War. It was probably groups like Ngā Tamatoa, He Tauā, obviously in the few years before that, had been active on campus and protesting racist representations of Māori by Pākehā. And, you know, you could also place it in the context of the Springbok Tour, perhaps, and debates around New Zealand's race relations. And it was in that context that somebody, I'm not sure if they were perhaps a member of Ngā Tamatoa, but had taken a sledgehammer to a particular part of the plaque which described used the phrase friendly Māoris, which was quite a common phrase in the early 20th century. So they took a sledgehammer, sort of smashed that bit off, and then the university discussed, you know, what do we do then with this plaque? Do we remove it for safekeeping or out of sensitivity? At the time, there was an idea that it would go to Auckland Museum, but it was actually subsequently lost and nobody really knew what happened to it. So it's really exciting that it's been found. It's been found in an old, basically a storage room of Old Coral Hall, which is a building on campus that's currently being renovated. So it's quite close to the barrack hall. So I can imagine in the 1980s, if I had been asked to remove a heavy stone plaque from the wall, I would probably look for the nearest storage room and I'd put it there, and that happened to be Old Coral Hall.
And that's where it has been all these years.
Yeah, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting find. Where do you think would be an appropriate place to house it now?
Well, I suppose it's a significant story in Tauranga, really, in that it holds these really interesting stories for Aucklanders. And I think it's appropriate that it go probably where it was originally intended, which is the Auckland War Memorial Museum, and we're currently negotiating a proposal around that it'd be gifted to the museum. The university has a policy that if during like a renovation of a campus building there are discoveries of like a historic artifact or something, that the Auckland Museum be consulted. It's also appropriate because there are other collections that have been that relate to the Albert Barracks, because of its significance as an archaeological site. So the museum has other objects that they've dug up over the years through different campus renovations. So it's probably an appropriate place for it to go to. How it's displayed or when it's displayed is obviously a discussion for the museum. But I think it's an exciting opportunity for Aucklanders and everyone in Aotearoa to sort of revisit what is an example of how our communities have commemorated conflicts, colonial conflicts in our place, and also have tried to sort of understand it and then connected different stories to those conflicts.
Tēnā koe, are you au fait with what the plaque actually says, Ron?
Yeah, it's a surprisingly long-winded plaque. So I won't necessarily read it out for you in its entirety, but basically it's kind of like, I think you described in the opening there, kind of a multi-layered sort of story. And basically it starts off And commemorating the what it calls the union and the camaraderie of Māori and Pākehā during the First World War. So it's unveiled in 1915 by a group called the Auckland Civic League. And that was their interesting group in itself. They're actually a women's group that's set up to promote women's sort of leadership in public life by Ellen Melville, who's the Auckland's first woman councillor. And it's to commemorate the shared sort of military service of Māori and Pākehā in the First World War, what it calls the Great European War in 1915. And so it does that by then this reference to this older story of the building of the barrack walls. And the building of the barrack walls, in, which had been completed in 1848, was really possible because of Māori workers who had helped construct the wall. And they were probably Ngāti Whātua. It's not 100% sure. We're not 100% sure, but they were probably Ngāti Whātua, which would make sense because of the ways that Ngāti Whātua had welcomed the colonial government in Tamaki Makaurau and had facilitated the arrival of someone like Governor Hobson. They were keen to promote the safety of the settlement. And the barrack walls itself was built, so if we take that as sort of two layers, the third layer is that the barrack walls were built to protect Auckland in the context of the Northern War. So the Northern War breaks out in the Bay of Islands in 1845. It's that first military conflict between Māori and Pākehā. So it's a very significant moment in our shared histories of and of our colonial conflicts, which we call the New Zealand Wars typically today. So yeah. Those are the sort of three layers that are kind of interpreted and presented, and it refers to those workers who were really crucial to the building and the kind of success of the barracks as friendly Māoris, and that's where the controversy comes in the 1980s. But then, of course, it's really referring, and of course now it has this extra layer, which is its history as a protest, as a point of protest, and now today we can add a new interpretation as we, I think, New Zealanders, Māori and Pākehā, sort of have the appetite to sort of revisit stories of the New Zealand Wars and to understand them and bring them into our schools, into our public life, and it's a good example of how New Zealanders have been doing that in different generations.
Te nākoe, well, in light of the protest action at Te Papa, I guess it sits there. There might be some things that people hoha about, but at least we know the provenance of this particular plaque. Thank you, Rowan. Look, I note that you've just got a new book out, Why Memory Matters, Remembered Histories and the Politics of a Shared Past. What are you hoping the book might result in? What's the focus of your new pukapuka ewa?
Yeah, well, it's relevant really to the discussion that we've had this morning about the park. I suppose the book is really about how the past matters, you know, and why. I guess I'm exploring why it can be so controversial. It's another way, another offer of an answer to the question that a lot of people are asking, which is why do we remember certain things of our past in Aotearoa and not others? You know, the New Zealand Wars I've mentioned are a big topic, and there's been an emphasis in curriculum and commemoration to bring that into sort of increase our public understanding. And so the book sort of offers just some examples of really the value in looking back at how communities have remembered our past over time and like why they do that, and what the sort of the decisions and the groups and the kind of needs that result or bring about different forms of remembrance. So the plaque is a good example of that. And I think it's an example of how if we actually look back on our own past and for examples of how communities have worked through these questions of what are we commemorating and how do we describe this relationship, say, between Māori and Pākehā, for example, and allows us to then think about that today and also think about that into the future. And so it's really a book that explores how we can do that and the need for that. You mentioned there the Te Papa protest, and that's a good example of the role of museums, I think, in public life and how we look to museums as these kind of platforms of debate and not just one story, I think, but multiple stories, and the need to be more, a bit more complicated perhaps in the way that we present stories of our past. And yeah, that's kind of the idea of my book.